ってしまう。We sincerely welcome all the assembled devotees to Sri Radha Gopinath's weekly Sankirtan festival. Today, according to our Vaishnav calendar, is the day where we observe the disappearance of one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very intimate, merciful associates, a very prominent branch on the tree of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Parishads, Srila Narahari Sarakar. With your kind permission, I would like to make a small attempt to speak something on this subject today. Because great acharyas not only have pastimes that are very pleasing to the heart, but through their actions they teach the world the path of highest perfection. It is said in Shastra that we cannot understand the real conclusions of the spiritual literatures of the world simply by study, even by deep analysis. Nor can we realize the perfection of life through severe tapasya. It is only possible by following in the footsteps of great souls. Mahajano yena kathasa panda. The path of perfection is to follow the example of those great perfected personalities who have so mercifully lived only for our benefit in the loving service of the Lord. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. With the effulgence, complexion, and the loving sentiments of Sri Radha, his pleasure potency. Just as when Lord Krishna appeared in this world at the dusk of the Dwapara Yuga, he manifested his supreme abode, Sri Gokul, and also brought with him his eternal loving associates. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before that time, he manifested the eternal spiritual abode of Navadvip, which is none different than Sri Vrindavan Dham in this world. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham, the place where the sweetest, most deeply loving pastimes of the Lord are enacted. And Navadvip is Audarya Dham. It is that supremely holy place where the Madhurya Ras, the sweetness of Vrindavan's pastimes, are benevolently distributed freely to the whole world. Lord Chaitanya's Leela and his abode are all accommodating. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurveshe Namaha. Rupa Goswami composed this prayer in Prayag at the confluence of Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. That there are many incarnations of the Lord who appear in this world, and all of them are all merciful. But Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, is supremely munificent. Because he plays the role of a devotee to demonstrate by his own life how we can achieve perfection. And not only that, but he's giving Krishna prema to even those who have the least qualifications. What to speak of those who have some qualification. Out of causeless mercy, through this Harinam Sankirtan movement, the only price of Krishna prema is simply our willingness to accept it wholeheartedly. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udhari lotara sakshi jagai madhai. Even cruel sinners and murderers like Jagai and Madhai attained the ultimate perfection in this life. They did not have to die and then go somewhere. In this very life they attend the perfection that even the greatest, most pious yogis, sages, and transcendentalists aspire for many, many births. How is it possible? Because they accepted wholeheartedly the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, especially in the form of sincerely and attentively chanting his names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Many of the eternal, most intimate associates of Radha and Krishna from Vrindavan in the spiritual world of Goloka descended to assist Lord Chaitanya in his mission. Bhaktivinod Thakur sings that beautiful song, "If you want to be free from the menace-like dog of Kali, then take shelter of the mercy of the son of Sachi, Sri Sachi Nanda." Lord Chaitanya brought with him the eternal denizens of the spiritual world. They assume forms of devotees, the most humble, dedicated, and merciful personalities that this world has ever seen. Madhumati is one of the confidential gopi assistants of Srimati Radharani in Goloka. Gorganodesh Deepika reveals that she appeared in this world as Narahari Sarakar. He appeared in the village of Srikanda, which is not far from Katva, the place where Lord Chaitanya accepted the renounced order. He took birth in a family of great physicians. His father's name was Sri Narayan. His mother was Sri Goyi. Sri Narayan had three sons. The eldest was named Mukunda Sarakar. And then there was Madhava and Narahari. An amazing family. Mukunda had a son named Raghunandan Thakur. When Sri Narayan died, Mukunda, the eldest son, took charge of the family. He was a great physician, Mukunda. In fact, he was so accomplished in his occupational field of Ayurvedic medicine that the king of Bengal, the Nawab Husain Shah, even accepted him as a family physician. And other such very, very powerful and influential personalities. We know the story of how once one of the kings of Bengal requested Mukunda Sarakar to give him a diagnosis. He was then sitting on a raised platform with many assistants and servants. And as he was speaking to Mukunda about medical problems, someone came with a fan made out of peacock feathers to shade the king from the sun. As soon as Mukunda saw a peacock feather, he remembered Krishna. That remembrance invoked such love in his heart that he fell unconscious, weeping and crying, and rolled right off the raised platform, way, way down onto the ground. And all the king and everybody assembled was very much worried whether he could survive such a fall. So even the king got off of his throne and ran down onto the platform, down to the ground. He said, "What happened? What happened?" Mukunda, very humble, he said, "I have a disease, something like epilepsy, and sometimes this happens to me." But his heart was so pure that just by the association with Mukunda, the king could understand what love of God was. He knew in his heart that this is the symptom of the highest ecstasies of love of God. Since you go home and you could come back another time and give me diagnosis. This was the power of Mukunda's love. So he sent his younger brother to Navadvip to study the scriptures. Navadvip was the high seat of learning for the holy scriptures in all of India. In fact, Nisikant Sanyal, in his book, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he describes Navadvip in terms of the 1930s in India. He said it was the Oxford of India for Vedic studies. So Narahari Sarakar, living in Navadvip, became a profound scholar of the Holy Scriptures. But not only that, he realized the essence and wrote beautiful books and poems describing the intimate rasas of the love of Vrindavan. This is even before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his Sankirtan movement. He's a great devotee. And sometime later, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came back from Gaya, his constant associate was Gadadhar Pandit. You remember the story, how Lord Chaitanya was in so much divine ecstasies of separation from Krishna, only Gadadhar Pandit had the purity and the intelligence to pacify the Lord. So the Lord's mother, Sachi Devi, requested Gadadhar Pandit, please always remain with my child, never leave him. And he took that order very seriously. Gadadhar Pandit, who was approximately the same age as Lord Chaitanya, was the constant association of Lord Chaitanya. But there was one other associate, and that was Narahari Sadakar. He came into that even before Nityananda Prabhu came to Navadvip. Gadadhar Pandit and Narahari Sadakar were the Lord's very, very deep, loving associates. Narahari, special service to Lord Chaitanya was to fan him with chamara, the yak tail. In fact, in this beautiful painting by our Srila Haridas Thakur Prabhu, we see Narahari Sadakar during the Gaur Aarti. Narahari adi kari chamaradulaya sanjaya mukunda basu goshadigaya. As Sanjay, Mukunda, and Basu Ghosh were singing beautiful kirtan, Narahari would fan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the chamara. And he would even glorify Lord Chaitanya sometimes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which Lord Chaitanya would not tolerate. Because in this age of Kali, there is a rampant philosophy that you can become God. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We are simultaneously one with God and different from God. In quality, God is Satchidananda Vigraha, and as the infinitesimal part of God, we are also. The spirit soul, Jiva, is Satchidananda Vigraha. But Bhagavan, Parabrahman, is Vibhu. He is supremely great. His energies are all-pervading. And the Jivatma is infinitesimal. Only when we understand this conception of our oneness with God and our difference from God is there a possibility for there to be the awakening of prem or pure love within our heart. Those who desire to enter into the Brahma Jyoti through Brahman realization of the Absolute Truth, they can transcend the modes of nature and all the sufferings of the dualities of life. But unless there is the awakening of the understanding that we are Jivira Swarupoi, Krishnara Nityadas, the eternal servants of Krishna, then real love cannot awaken within our hearts. And Lord Chaitanya, his special mission was to give that love to the world. Way beyond mukti is prema bhakti. Mukti is the negation of all the negativity and sufferings of this world, and prema bhakti is the ultimate development of our spiritual identity in the positive realm of pure love. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so great. He was all attractive in every way. But if anyone called him God, he would block his ears and cry out the names of Vishnu and say, never, ever, ever compare anyone in this world, however great they are, to Bhagavan. We are always his eternal servants. In this way he taught us the foundational basis in which love can develop from our hearts. When Lord Chaitanya spoke to Sanatana Goswami, He explained intricate details in the culmination of his talk, intimate details of the nature of pure love in the spiritual world. But he began his teachings from that foundational platform wherein all of these higher revelations can be realized. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. That every living being is eternally and constitutionally the servant of Krishna. But Narahari Sarakar's love was so pure and so sweet that even when he sang songs glorifying Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord, the Lord would listen. Special relationship. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his residence in Puri after taking the sannyas order, he went to South India for a couple of years, and when he returned, his devotees from Navadvip came to visit him to spend the 4 months of Chaturmasya. They were all led by Shivananda Sen. And one of those devotees was Narahari Sarakar. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Narahari Sarakar spent much of his time in his native place of Srikanda. Srikanda is such a holy place. Chaitanya Charitamrita Kaviraj Goswami describes just a few of the great souls from Srikanda. Mukunda, Narahari, Raghunandan, Sri Madhava, Sri Chiranjiva, Sulochan, Lochandas Thakur. They were all residents from there. Damodar Kaviraj and his sons, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Govinda Kaviraj. They were all descendants of the residents of Srikanda. So Narahari went to Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he divided his devotees into 7 groups to perform Nam Sankirtan during the Rath Yatra of Jagannath. By the way, on June 27th of next year is Rath Yatra in Puri, and we are inviting everyone who wants to come to join us for that festival. I'll be leaving India early, probably at the end of February, just so that I could come back for Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra, and we'll have a 7-day yatra there. 2 of the days will participate in Rath Yatra, and the other days will go to the holy places of Jagannath Puri. And it will be a yatra without so many restrictions, so everyone is invited. The only qualification is your enthusiasm to dance before Lord Jagannath's chariot from Jagannath Mandir to Gundicha Mandir. Haribol. So in those 7 groups, one of the groups, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally specified, was the residents of Srikanda. And the lead dancers of that group was Narahari Sarakar and his nephew, Raghunandan Thakur. Now every year, when the devotees from Bengal and other parts of Orissa would come to meet Lord Chaitanya, there was wonderful intimate exchanges. And similarly, when they were about to take leave from him, there were such exchanges.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially loved to glorify his devotees. Sometimes he would glorify his devotees with the enthusiasm of having five mouths. When he glorified Vasudev Dutt, after he prayed in a spirit of such immense compassion to all the sinful people of this world, Lord Chaitanya praised him as if he had 1,000 mouths. In one of these exchanges, an event took place that Srila Prabhupada considered very instructive for all of us, especially in modern life. These three great devotees from Srikanda were together. Mukunda and his son, Raghunandan, and Narahari, Mukunda's younger brother. So Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda quite an esoteric question. He said, "Mukunda, is Raghunandan your son, or are you his son?" Now, obviously, you could see the age difference. And Lord Chaitanya, he knows everything. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why is he asking this question? That was revealed in the answer. Mukunda said, "Because Raghunandan has inspired me so deeply in my Krishna consciousness, I consider that he is my father and I am his son." Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. He said, "Yes, this is correct. One who inspires us in our devotional service to Lord Krishna is our father." We know that beautiful story of Raghunandan Thakur when he was just a little boy, 4 or 5 years old. His father Mukunda was called away for the day to perform some duties as a doctor. Perhaps one of the kings was inviting him. Now there was a deity at home named Gopinath. And Mukunda Sarakar every day would take the offering that his wife would cook, Rajbhog, and offer it to the deity of Gopinath. But on this day he had to leave. So he told his little son, Raghunandan, that you offer it. The little boy, he was never trained in deity worship. What does he know? He inquired from his father, "What do I do?" He said, "You just offer it. Ask Gopinath to eat and he will eat." So Raghunandan went in with the offering and looked at Gopinath with folded hands and said, "Eat, eat." And Gopinath ate. Brahma Samhita declares how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his body is transcendental. There are none of the limitations of our bodies. His body is Satchidananda Vigraha. Any part of his body could perform the function of any other part of the body. He could taste through his eyes. He could hear through his fingers. He could smell through his mouth. So when we offer bhoga to the Lord with devotion, the Lord accepts it. It is not our imagination. It is not just some belief. It is not just a Hindu tradition. It is the word of the Supreme Lord. One time, a person who was on a spiritual path that did not believe in the form of God, only believed in yajñas, challenged Srila Prabhupada. But why are you taking this food and offering it to a deity? Deities don't eat. Bhagavan doesn't eat. The Absolute Truth doesn't need food. He's all-pervading. He's everywhere. He doesn't need food. What is this offering? And Lord, and Srila Prabhupada, he said, you may say he doesn't eat, but Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayacht, ashnami. If you offer me even a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water with devotion, I accept it. I will eat it. So you say Krishna doesn't eat, but Krishna says he eats. So should I believe Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who has been worshipped, honored, and surrendered to by the greatest saints throughout history, or should I believe you?
Hare Krishna.
So Krishna tells us he eats. We don't have to see it. For mundane people with little faith, seeing is believing. But for a person with a much higher standard of transcendental consciousness, hearing is believing. A transcendental person sees through his ears, not through his eyes or her eyes. How is that? Because our eyes are limited. They cannot see beyond what is limited. Our eyes are made of flesh and water, and they cannot see anything but flesh and water and fire. We can't even see air and ether, which are gross elements. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. But when our eyes are ornamented with the decor of love, we can see Krishna, Shyam Sundar, in his threefold bending form. But hearing is the perfect process of perception. Why? Because what we see is only what's in front of us now. But the Holy Scriptures are eternal. We could see Narsingadev appearing to Prahlad Maharaj, which happened in the Satyayuga. We could see Ramchandra living very peacefully on the Mandakini Ganga in Chitrakoot with Sita and Lakshman through hearing. We can see Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, dancing with gopis. Playing in the cowherd pastures with the cowherd boys. Delivering the great demons like Keshi and Aristasura. We can see it today through hearing. We can see the spiritual world of Goloka and everything that's happening there. We could see Ayodhya, Vaikuntha, the Brahma Jyoti. We can see it all through hearing. But with our eyes, we can't even see what is beyond the room that we're sitting. Therefore, we learn to see through our ears by hearing from the Holy Scriptures, the Guru and the Sadhus, Guru Sadhu Shastra. Truth can only be understood through these three sources. But Krishna, he's absolute. When we offer food before him, he simply glances upon that food. And he tastes the devotion that it has been prepared with
and it is being offered with.
The pujari in the temple has a very significant role. It's a high responsibility. Because when the pujari offers the bhoga, or when the pujari offers the arti, he's doing it on behalf of the entire congregation. He's doing it on behalf of everyone in the temple. So his devotion, his sincerity, and his purity is very important. Whatever we do in deity worship, we should never think that it's just me doing it. We're doing it on behalf of all the devotees. And we're doing it under the order, with the blessings of the spiritual masters in disciplic succession. Otherwise, we have absolutely no qualification. What is our qualification? The order of guru, the blessings of the previous acharya, and the blessings and good wishes of all the assembled devotees. Because we have those things, and we're sincere in the service of all of them, Krishna will accept our offering. And he does eat it. And it becomes empowered with his kripa as prasadam. Prasadam is very powerful. It's the mercy of the Lord. The Lord tastes it and leaves his mercy within that food. It's actually an amazing process that takes place. It's a process so subtle and so divine that it could only be understood through faith. Because faith is the only power that can see beyond the limitations of this world of misery. If you don't have faith in the divine, then all you have in life is the temporary sources of misery. There's nothing beyond death. There's nothing beyond dissolution. Unless we have faith. With faith, we can understand this amazing process. We're taking ordinary food. The same food, if anybody else eats, they inflict karma upon themselves.
Hare Krishna.
And you offer it to the Lord with some prayer, some mantra, and some sincere feeling with the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas. And Krishna, he eats and drinks the love and devotion it's being offered with. Not just our love and devotion, but the love and devotion of all the assembled devotees. The love and devotion of the spiritual master. The love and devotion of the previous acharyas. That's what he's eating. It's not just me. But we have to be sincere enough to be an instrument to carry the love and devotion of all the Vaishnavas, Guru, and the Sadhus. Without the blessings and permission of Guru and the Vaishnavas, Krishna will not accept our offering. Because we don't have any real devotion unless we seek their blessings. When we were pujaris, as young boys, we never thought that Krishna is accepting my offering. He's accepting the love of Srila Prabhupada. Because it's on his order that it's being offered. It's by his love that we're offering it. So we're invoking the love of Prabhupada, we're invoking the love of all the Vaishnavas, and then we offer it. This is the process. And then Krishna takes it. And Krishna enjoys it immensely. When bhoga is offered with feeling, Krishna enjoys the bhoga millions of times more than the jivatma can enjoy his prasadam. Because he has that power. We think we're enjoying prasad. But how much Krishna's enjoying the bhoga? And actually, to the degree we're pure in heart, we can enjoy prasad. Enjoying prasad is not done simply with one's taste buds. Because Raghunath Das Goswami, what was the prasad he was taking? The spoiled, decomposed rice that was offered to Jagannath, that was not sold by the shopkeepers in several days in the heat of Jagannath Puri, and with all the humidity, that rice, which couldn't be sold because it was rotten, would be thrown near one of the gates of Jagannath's temple for the cows to eat. And though, when the cows would eat, if some rice was so spoiled that even they couldn't tolerate it, they would spit it out. Did you ever see a cow spit? It's very graceful. They're not gross like us and go... They just open their mouth and it just falls out. It's very nice. Very good. And Raghunath Das Goswami at night, when no one was around to see, he would collect that. And he couldn't eat the rotten part. So he would open it up and just take the hard little inner portion of it and wash it and eat that. That's all he ate, nothing else. No chilies, no sugar, no salt. Well, a little salt he may have put on it. But how would you like a diet like that year after year? But Raghunath Das Goswami was tasting something so sweet. He was enjoying that prasad more than you or me enjoy gulab jamun's halava or pizza. Why? Because he was tasting through faith. He was tasting through realization. He was tasting Krishna's love. We're tasting, you know, sugar and spices and tomatoes and grains and all of these things. But he's tasting Krishna's love. That's what prasad is about, tasting Krishna's love. Krishna's love manifests in this world in the form of kripa, or mercy. To accept Krishna's mercy is to accept Krishna's love, and his love is infinite. Such a beautiful concept. So Raghunandan offered, eat. And because he had so much love, he was so innocent, he didn't know any shastric prayers. He didn't know mantras. He wasn't doing Vishnu Sahasranam and offering 1,000 tulsi leaves. All he did is say, eat. He wasn't doing the Achman and the Madhupark and the Argya. He wasn't doing all the different purifications. He just said, eat. But he did it with such simple, innocent love that Krishna ate it. But Raghunandan didn't understand. He was crying. And Gopinath, the deity, Gopinath was so much moved by his tears because it was tears of humility. Gopinath asked him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I'm so fallen. I'm asking you to eat and you're not eating. I have no love. I have no devotion, so you're not eating. My father told me to offer this to you and you're not accepting it." And Gopinath said, "I ate through my eyes." But Raghunandan, he was not understanding this principle. He's saying, "But the food is still on the plate. Please eat." So right in front of Raghunandan's eyes, Gopinath came right down from the altar, sat down at the plate with his hands, and put it in his mouth, and ate every speck. There was nothing left. And he took his time in doing it. Why did he take his time? Gopinath took his time eating that prasad, or bhoga,
just to get Raghunandan in trouble.
Because it was taking a long time. And the mother was waiting right outside the altar doors. Where? What's happening? And Raghunandan comes after a long time with an empty plate. Now, what do you think his mother suspected? So Mukunda comes home after performing his occupational duties. And like any day, he expects prasad, Gopinath's Mahaprasad. Where is prasad? His wife tells, there's no Mahaprasad. Huh? Why? He says, you should ask your son. He was in that deity room for a long time, and he came out with an empty plate. And when I asked him, where's the prasad? He said, Gopinath ate all of it. So Mukunda Sarakar, being such an elevated devotee, understood the power of his son's love. And he had his wife make a special laddu. And he told Raghunandan, offer this laddu to Gopinath. And then Mukunda Sarakar pretended to leave the house. But when Raghunandan went on the altar to the offering, he quickly came back and was secretly watching. And Raghunandan said, eat, eat. And Gopinath came off the altar and picked up the laddu and put it in his mouth. And when his father saw that, he was weeping in ecstasy, saying, Haribo, Haribo. And because he wept in ecstasy and made a cry, Gopinath looked and saw the father and immediately put the laddu down. And so Mukunda just ran to the altar and there was a half-eaten laddu in Gopinath's hand. It was actually in his hand. And that laddu is still today. Devotees could go and see that half-eaten laddu. And Mukunda was weeping and crying and embracing his son and just praising Krishna for being so merciful to his son. And on that day, Mukunda considered Raghunandan to be his superior, like his father. So Lord Chaitanya very much appreciated Mukunda Sarakar's humility. And then he gave instructions to these three family members. He told Mukunda that you should earn material and spiritual wealth. That is your service. To Raghunandan, he said, you should worship the deity in the temple. And to Narahari, he said, you should remain in the association of devotees and preach. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the open-minded view of Lord Chaitanya. He does not see one is high and one is low. According to our particular occupational duties, according to our ashram, according to our nature, we could all serve Krishna with pure love and devotion accordingly. For those who have families and work occupational duties, he said, earn material and spiritual wealth. That means he, like Mukunda Sarakar, he was a doctor, he did his duties, he maintained his family so nicely. Srila Prabhupada explains like this. Some of the greatest devotees in history were householders who had jobs, who took care of families, sometimes very large families. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 10 children. How many of you in this room have 10 children? How many have 9? 8? 7? 6? We won't even go below that. Most of you have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4. Maybe 5 on rare occasions. And how difficult it is to keep peace in the house. And how difficult it is to maintain financially all the desires and the demands of all these, the wife, the husband, and all the children. Do any of you have this experience? 10 children. And we read in the scriptures about people, great devotees, who had a lot more than that. So yes, earn material and spiritual wealth. That means earn material wealth and spiritualize it through devotion. Make your home a temple. Raise your family according to Krishna's direction, not according to the Bollywood movies or according to the American television's direction, not according to the advertisement campaigns that are being propagated all over the world by people who just want to take your money, not according to mundane politicians who are attached to power. They're not all like that, but sometimes they are. But according to this, according to God's direction, whatever money you put into your home, if it's done with proper direction, it's service to the Lord, because you have actually made your house a temple. Now, what does it mean to make your house a temple? There's the form and the spirit. There's the form and the substance. They are both to be inseparable. Form is required to cultivate the substance of spirit. Just like we have this temple of Radha Gopinath. That is the form of the Lord, the form of the altar. But we benefit. This is actually a temple. And we realize that to the extent that we honor and worship the Lord in the temple. So at home, there's a form. We set up an altar. But our house is not a temple if we set up an altar and we're eating forbidden foods and we're fighting with each other and we're arguing over egoistic affairs and we're breaking regulative principles, then our house is not a temple. Our house is just a mundane place with an altar that Krishna doesn't even like to be in. Hare Krishna. Our house is a temple when we set up the altar of the Lord and the whole family agrees. At least the parents are trying to get the whole family to agree. Sometimes due to generation gaps and everything, it takes some time. But the sincerity of the family, and the parents especially, is to live in a way that pleases Krishna. We will live by the highest moral, ethical standards. We will be kind to each other. We will care for each other, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We will love God through energizing each other with our own love. And we will invite sadhus to bless us. And we will go to the major temples of the sadhus to become spiritually inspired. And we will want to do seva. Then our house is a temple. Then maintaining such a house is devotional service. And trying to help with our finances, with our intelligence, with our abilities, with our influences, to try to help people become Krishna conscious, which is the greatest service we could do for God, then we're earning simultaneously spiritual and material wealth. That was Mukunda Sarakar. And Raghunandan, he was told to worship the deity. He was in the temple doing puja, which is a very, very sacred activity. And Narahari was with the association of devotees preaching the glories of the Lord, doing Bhagavad Katha, Sankirtan for the public, for the Vaishnavas everywhere. Now who's better? They are all integrated. They are all interdependent on each other. It's Daivi Varnashram Dharma. That's what Krishna teaches in Gita. Yat karosi yat ashnasi yat johosi tat asiya. Whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, whatever austerities, make it an offering to me. Arjuna was Kshatriya, Grihastha. Don't change your status. Just do it under my direction for me. That is love. So in this beautiful example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us to go beyond the sectarianism within Vaishnav society. That everyone honors each other. That is a Vaishnav, amanina manadena, to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. The grihasthas honor the brahmacharis. The brahmacharis honor the grihasthas. The vanaprasthas and sannyasis honor the sannyasis honor the grihasthas. The sannyasis honor the brahmacharis. Everyone is honoring each other because everyone is performing a very vital role in the service of the Lord. And the Lord is not concerned with your ashram or your particular status in the society. He's concerned with the sincerity of your devotion. Durvasa Muni was a sadhu. Staunch sadhu. He had long matted hair. He just wore kopan and loincloth. Never slept inside. Severe tapasya. But the Lord was more pleased with Ambarish, who had a wife and children and lived in a beautiful palace. Why? Because of the sincerity and the humility of his devotion. That is bhakti. Grihe tako vane tako satahari bole tako suke duke bule tako padane harinam kurure gai gora madhu svare. Whether you're a grihastha living at home, or whether you're a sannyasi living in the jungle, you will go beyond all the happinesses and distresses of this temporary world if you simply take shelter of the holy name. But it is the conditioned state of human nature to be egoistic. My religion is best. My caste is best. My ashram is best. And we become judgmental toward others. But that is against the fundamental basis of Vaishnavism, which is amanina manadena. To be humble like the grass, tolerant like the tree, to offer respect to others and expect none in return, to see the goodness in others, to see yourself as the servant of others. So this is the wonderful lesson that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught for all people of all time to come through this simple dialogue with the family of Mukunda Sarakar of Srikanda. One time Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu both came to Srikanda, to the house of Narahari. And they were performing Nam Sankirtan and having Harikatha and just relishing each other's association. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda requested Narahari Sarakar, please give us sweet honey to drink. And Narahari was so enthusiastic to give Lord Chaitanya honey to drink that just by his desire, a lake just outside of his house of water was transformed into a lake of honey. And even to this day, that place is called Madhu Pushkarini, the lake of honey. Over the centuries, it's become water again. But the sweetness of Narahari's devotion is still there. Now, what does this story tell us? This was his enthusiasm to please the Lord. The Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, give us a little honey. So he had such enthusiasm that by his desire he created an entire lake filled with honey. This is the sign of a serious devotee. An ordinary devotee wants to just do what the Lord says, usually minimal. Yes? The Lord says, chant 16 rounds. I'll do it. I'll get this 16 rounds done. Somehow or other, I'll do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Ram Ram Ram. Finally, finished. Last bead. Yes? Or do some cooking. I'll cook and I did it. It's finished. So we just want to get our service done. But the sign of a really sincere devotee is that devotee wants to qualitatively and quantitatively do as much as he or she possibly can for the Lord. We want to do more and more and more to our capacity. That's love. Love is not just official. Official may be the basic minimum to develop love. But as we become more sincere, it's from the heart. So this is not a Hari Sarakar. If he would have given a teaspoon of honey to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they would have been satisfied. But his desire was not a teaspoon. His desire was a lake. If he was living in Puri, he probably would have made the whole ocean honey. But because he only had a lake near his house, he made the whole lake honey. That was his desire. And that was how the Lord just reciprocated with his desire. What was internal, the Lord manifested externally for the whole world to see. We have this example of Srila Prabhupada. Anjala Dutta, he just desired to spread Krishna's holy name all over the world. That's all he had, was a desire. He didn't have contacts. He didn't have health. He didn't have money. He had nothing. He had a box of books. And the way books are bound in India, they're not very attractive for the material vision in America. In America, people try to sell their books by having really flashy, attractive binding and photos and pictures. And Prabhupada's Bhagavatams, there was no photos, those original ones. It was just a kind of a brick brown color with Indian paper, which in America, people don't, it's substandard. So he just had a box of these books. Of course, they were munificent. They were the ultimate. They were Srimad Bhagavatam. But you have to have spiritual vision. He had nothing. He only had a desire. Now what did Krishna do? Krishna manifested his desire externally. And he's still manifesting it. That little, Prabhupada called himself an insignificant beggar on Jaladutta. And now there's 500 temples, tens and thousands of devotees, tens and millions of books. Krishna manifested his desire, just as he manifested Narahari's desire to give him honey in an incredible way. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed from this world, very soon, many of the associates of Lord Chaitanya were also departing. In Narahari Sarakar, he was living then in Srikanda. He was such a merciful, empowered preacher. Who were his disciples? Raghunandan Thakur was his initiated disciple. Lochan Das Thakur was his initiated disciple. We are speaking about that great personality who wrote Sri Chaitanya Mangal, one of the greatest of the biographies of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, worshipped by the Vaishnavas. He was the obedient servant of Narahari Sarakar. When Srinivasacharya was just a young man, just a teenager, he went to Srikanda and took shelter of Narahari Sarakar. Narahari Sarakar loved him like a father to a son. He embraced him. He wept tears of affection on Srinivasacharya. He deeply instructed him in the science of Krishna consciousness and blessed him for great success in his life. Srinivasacharya loved Narahari Sarakar more than his life. He accepted him as his Shikshaguru, heart and soul. He was initiated by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, but Narahari Sarakar was deeply his Shikshaguru. Narottam Das Thakur, that great Acharya, he went to Srikanda and took shelter of Narahari Sarakar. Received instructions and blessings from him. Narottam Das Thakur accepted him as a prominent Shikshaguru in his life, as did Shyamananda Prabhu. He was such an attractive person. The greatest saints worshipped him. What to speak of the common people? He was so kind, so loving to everyone. He did not discriminate who was fit and who was unfit. He fully carried the full-fledged mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in his heart and distributed it profusely. Srinivasacharya was completely detached from everything of this world. He was absorbed in the highest rasas of Krishna prema. But Narahari Sarakar understood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire for Srinivasacharya. And one time, when Srinivasacharya was in Srikanda with Narahari, Narahari told him, "It is Lord Chaitanya's desire. He has revealed through my heart that you must get married." Hare Krishna. Now, Srinivasacharya was more of a brahmachari than anyone could ever be a brahmachari. He wasn't just doing tapasya. He was tasting Madhurya Ras. But Narahari told him, you get married. And because it came from Narahari Sarakar, without the slightest argument, without the slightest question, Srinivasacharya, with Narahari Sarakar's help, was married. This was the stature of this great soul. He was teaching, he was showing so much affection, and he was constantly performing Nam Sankirtan. One time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a dream. And Lord Chaitanya personally instructed him to have 3 deities of Lord Gauranga made and installed in 3 different places. And Narahari manifested those 3 deities of Lord Chaitanya. One in Katwa, or Kanaka Nagara. The other in Ganga Nagar, and the third in Srikanda. The deity of Lord Gauranga that Lord Chaitanya manifested within the heart of Narahari Sarakar manifested in such a beautiful form. Narahari Sarakar made that deity his life and soul. He personally did the puja. He personally performed the Nam Sankirtan for that deity's pleasure. And his whole preaching mission was to bring people to the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, who has appeared so mercifully before our eyes. And that deity became so attractive to the hearts of Vaishnavas in all directions because he was worshipped by the love of Narahari Sarakar in Srikanda. But gradually, so many devotees were departing from the world. And Narahari loved the devotees so much. You can understand how much love for Krishna you have by how much love you have for his devotees. If you think you love the deity, but you don't have love for the devotees, if you want to serve and give things to the deities, but you don't want to serve and offer to the devotees, that is called kanishta. It is the lowest path form of devotional service. The Madhyamadhikari wants to love and serve the deities, the devotees, senior devotees. We want to take instruction from them and carry out their orders. Equal devotees, we want to make intimate, loving friendships with them. And junior devotees, we want to serve them by being a good example and by giving care and nourishment to their lives. And to those who are non-devotees, if they're innocent, we want to serve them by preaching, by somehow or other connecting them. And to the atheists, we serve them by keeping a respectable distance so that they do not engage in unnecessary offenses to the Lord. But in all states, we're always servant. And we find in the lives of the great souls who love Krishna how much they loved each other. That's spiritual advancement. No false ego. When you love someone, you're not envious of them. Envy is very opposite to love. When you love someone, you want the best for them. If a father or mother really loves their child, they want their child to do better than them in everything. They want their child to have what they didn't have. Yes?
They want their child not to make the mistakes that their suffering is results from. That's love. So when Vaishnavas love each other, they're thrilled with happiness to see another Vaishnav getting mercy. They want to see everyone go back to Godhead. They want to see everyone in the joy of Krishna consciousness. They want to see everyone being empowered. Not that I have to be empowered. Let everybody else be empowered and let me serve them. That's love. Not that let me be empowered and everyone should serve me. Let everyone be empowered and let me help, let me do everything I can to give them that empowerment. And let me honor them and serve them. That is Vaishnav. We may serve them from a higher or a lower position by social status, but that's our mentality. Srila Prabhupada was praying that all of his disciples did more than him. It's not that he wanted, don't go beyond this level, because then you might supersede me. All of his disciples, and all of his grand disciples, and all of his great grand disciples, and all of his great, 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 great grand disciples, and the more you go down, the greater they become. Great, 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 great. And when we see people as great, what happens to us? The more we see other people as great, the more we become grateful. And a grateful heart is a heart that the Lord is pleased to reside within. So the love of the Vaishnava is something very special. And now we're going to start speaking on this particular subject in the life of Narahari Sarakar and his disciples. In Katva, worshipping one of the deities that was brought by Narahari was Gadadhar Das. Now there's three villages and towns that are quite close to each other. There is Katva, Kantaka Nagar, Jajigram, which is the birthplace of Srinivasacharya and where he resided, and Srikanda. Gadadhar Das, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gaur Ganodesh Dipika, was the incarnation of Srimati Radharani's effulgence. He was all merciful. He was one of the most empowered, prominent preachers of Krishna consciousness. One of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya. When Nityananda Prabhu was sent from Puri to Bengal to preach there, he gave him two of his closest, most loving devotees, Abhiram Thakur and Gadadhar Das. We know the stories of Gadadhar Das. He was so absorbed, he even transcendentally preached and changed the hearts of violent, vicious enemies of the Hindu faith. Unbelievable. I mean, he was preaching to people who were on the level of this Osama bin Laden. How many of you would go to his house and say, chant the names of Lord Hari or I'll cut your head off? That's what Gadadhar Das did to a Qazi who was a hateful terrorist. He said, chant the names of Hari now, today, or I will cut your head off. Qazi was shocked. He said, Gadadhar, I'll chant the names of Hari tomorrow. Ah, you already chanted the names of Hari, 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 now you are liberated. He was dancing all over his house, chanting, 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 crying. You chanted the name of Hari, no tomorrow, today you have done.
So he worshipped the deity of Lord Chaitanya in Katva. And Gadadhar Das's very dear disciple was Yadu Nandan. Srinivasacharya took a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. When he returned, he stopped in Katva. There he received the news that on the Krishnastami of the month of Kartik, Gadadhar Das disappeared from the world. Because of his love for the devotees, when he heard of different great souls in Vrindavan and Jagannath Puri and Bengal who were leaving this world, Gadadhar Das just went to a secluded place and just in the ecstasy of love and separation just chanted the holy name and gave up his life. Srinivasacharya was shocked. And then he went to Shikanda after a short visit to Jajigram. And there he met Raghunandan Thakur. And Raghunandan Thakur told him what had just happened in Shikanda. Narahari Sarakar was hearing so much news about different devotees departing from this world. And when he heard that Gadadhar Das just went to a secluded place, practically stopped eating and sleeping, just chanting the holy names of Krishna, gave up his life. Narahari Sarakar went to a secluded place, and in the highest ecstasies of spiritual love, he chanted the holy names. And on Ekadasi, Utpana Ekadasi, which is the day we're celebrating today, Narahari Sarakar gave up his life. He spent days and days and days just crying in love, in separation from the Lord and his devotees. And then gave up his life in his old age. Raghunandan Thakur expressed to Srinivasa Acharya that it is my desire to have a festival to honor the disappearance of my uncle and my Guru Maharaj, Narahari Sarakar. Srinivasa Acharya explained that in Katva, Yadunandan Bhattacharya, he is having a disappearance festival for Gadadhar Das. So we will call the great personalities who are the associates of Lord Chaitanya to these festivals. So first they all went to Katva and had a wonderful, wonderful celebration in honor of the disappearance of Gadadhar Das in front of his deity of Lord Gauranga. And that's a beautiful story, but we will tell it on another occasion. Then all the devotees came to Jajigram. And meanwhile, the Mahants were assembling. When we speak about Mahants, we are speaking in this regard, according to Narahari Chakravarti, the author of Bhakti Ratnakar. The Mahants in this sense means the personal associates of Lord Chaitanya. They assembled as well. And they all traveled to Shikanda. The simple villagers of Shikanda greeted them, greeted all the Vaishnavas who came. Not only the great saints, but all the Vaishnavas. They greeted them with such love, with such enthusiasm, such beautiful hospitality. This is Vaishnav culture. Many of you were at our first visit to Shikanda. some years ago. We arrived at night. It was dark. Yes? And when we arrived, actually, no, I think we arrived in the daytime. We left at night. But when we arrived, there were hundreds and hundreds of villagers. There was not a road leading into their village. It was just an earthen path that was connected to a road. We had to park our buses some distance away, and to get to Srikhanda, we had to walk along an earthen path. And on both sides of the earthen path were lined hundreds of the Srikhandavasis. And they were all offering aartis and putting scented water on the dust of the road so it would smell nice and so the dust would not come on our faces. They were offering aartis. They were walking next to all the devotees with chamaras. They were offering obeisances. They were showering us with flower petals. As many devotees as they could, they were offering garlands. They didn't even know who we are. The only thing they knew is we were performing Nam Sankirtan. That's all. Because devotees were coming, and there were many hundreds of us, coming into their village performing Nam Sankirtan. Anyone coming into their village performing the chanting of the holy name is worshipable to them. It was a type of hospitality in their simple love, which was so spontaneous that I have never seen before. And whoever was there, our hearts were melted. These are the descendants of those personalities who greeted the Vaishnavas, headed by Srinivasacharya. Yes, all the villagers of Srikhanda just melted the hearts of all the devotees with their loving reception. Then Raghunandan Thakur arranged residential places for the Vaishnavas. And then he went with his own disciples and servants and associates personally to decorate the temple and decorate the deity in the most wonderful possible way. The next day was Ekadasi. Everyone rose early in the morning. When they saw the decorations in the temple, they were astounded. Such intricate, intimate care that they did to make the temple spectacularly beautiful in a very simple way. And how they decorated the deities. Then Raghunandan Thakur, in an area that he had created for Harikatha, he gave special seats to the personal associates of Lord Chaitanya. Some of them who were there in Srikhanda for this festival were two of the sons of Srivas Thakur, Sripati and Srinidhi. Two of the sons of Advaitacharya, Krishna Mishra and Sri Gopal, and Nityananda Nandana, the one son of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Birbhadra. Birbhadra is the incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, from whom all incarnations are manifested into this universe. He is also known as Birbhadra, Birchandra. Prominent branch of Nityananda Prabhu. Then the great Acharyas requested Srinivasacharya to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and give explanations. Srinivasacharya was
most empowered speaker on earth. He had the personal darshan of Lord Chaitanya. He had the personal darshan of Radha Krishna. He was trained by Jiva Goswami. What an amazing orator was Srinivasacharya. We know one example where King Birambir from Bana Vishnupuram, he was the king of dacoits and very powerful. When he heard Srinivasacharya speak Srimad Bhagavatam, King Birambir surrendered to Krishna, surrendered his whole kingdom to Krishna, and became the initiated disciple of Srinivasacharya. That was the power of his Bhagavad Katha. It wasn't just a musical performance. It was an expression of real compassion. But he was embarrassed. How could I speak in front of all of you? You are Lord Chaitanya's associates. You are also senior to me. He was embarrassed. But the Mahans, they assured him that it is our wish that you speak. Please know, we will not feel in any way upset if you speak. Rather, we will feel most happy if you speak. We give you all our blessings. Please speak. So then Srinivasacharya went to each of these senior devotees and fell like a rod, performing full dandavats at their lotus feet. And with tears of humility in his eyes, he worshipped them and begged for their permission. Only then did he feel he had any qualification to speak. Even though by material calculations, there was nobody who knew the Bhagavatam better than him in the world. But by spiritual qualifications, he was Trinadapi Sunichena. He was humble like a blade of grass. So he worshipped, honored, and begged permission from all the great souls and all the assembled Vaishnavas. Then he worshipped Srimad Bhagavatam with tulsi leaves, flowers, and sandalwood paste, chandan. Then he began his narration. And what a narration it was. His voice was sweet like a cuckoo. And his emotions, his sentiments, his convictions were so deep. They came from the intimate love of his soul. And his knowledge was profound. As he spoke, everyone in the audience, there were hundreds and hundreds of devotees and all kinds of villagers were coming from all directions. Some of them were atheists. But everyone was mesmerized by Srinivasacharya's Bhagavad Katha. Some of the great saints, they were discussing amongst each other, what kind of Katha is this? Someone said, the spirit of Sukadeva Goswami has directly entered into the heart of Srinivasacharya. And another said that Sri Vedavyas has empowered Srinivasacharya to understand all the most intimate philosophical details of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And another person said, Srinivasacharya, when he was a young man, he personally studied Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit at the Tota Gopinath temple in Puri. Today we see that Gadadhar Pandit's mercy, his causeless, unlimited mercy, is filling the heart of Srinivas. And another person said, the rhythm and sweetness in which he chants, Srivas Thakur has empowered him with his mercy. And another one of the Acharyas said, from my understanding of seeing this katha, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally entered into the heart of Srinivasacharya, and it is the Lord Gauranga who is speaking through him. Srimad Bhagavatam. They were rejoicing. No one was envious. No one was falling asleep. Everyone was rejoicing. He didn't even have a microphone or a sound system. Everyone was in rapt attention. This was his love. And night came. He spoke from the Brahma Muhurta time all the way till night. And nobody considered any time had elapsed. When night came, it was time for the aarti of Lord Gauranga in the temple and Sankirtan. Srinivasacharya concluded his Bhagavat recitation. And the Mahants, they were so thrilled with happiness to see how he was being so empowered. He fell at their feet and they lifted him up and rubbed his head like a little child. They rubbed his head and just showered blessings. They were praying to Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, "Oh Srinivas, may all of your disciples and all of your followers realize the highest limits of pure love. May your influence transform the hearts of millions and millions of people in this world for the pleasure of Lord Gauranga." This was the type of blessings they were showering upon him. Raghunandan Thakur went to the temple to make sure all the decorations and all the arrangements were just perfect as possible. Then Raghunandan Thakur, with great humility, escorted everyone into the temple room. And how the devotees were amazed by the beauty of the decorations. Not that they care about decorations, but because it was done with such love and devotion. This is what a festival means. Festival means for the pleasure of Krishna, pleasure of his devotees, and pleasure of all other living beings, whoever they may be, that may attend. That's what a festival is about. That was their mood. They made it so nice that all the hearts of all the devotees would rejoice. And that's what they did. Then Raghunandan Thakur was blessed by the Mahants to begin kirtan. The instruments were brought in, practically like a procession. The instruments are the paraphernalia of the holy name. Kalikale Namarupe Krishnavatar. That Krishna descends in this age of Kali as his name. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Ras Vigraha. That the name is the form of God with all the potencies of the Lord. The name is not like the Lord. The name is the Lord. So as we worship the deity, we should also worship the holy name. And the paraphernalia, the tadit, is also worshipable. The mridanga. In South India, mridanga is very, very much ancient instrument to glorify the Lord. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, he and his devotees designed special form of mridanga that would sound so sweet and that were so light and special that you could dance in ecstasy while playing it. South Indian mridangas, you can play it in ecstasy, but it's very difficult to dance. They're very heavy. light, nice mrdungas you could just dance and dance and go everywhere with. So these mrdungas are the special paraphernalia of the holy name. They, and karatals, they were brought in like a procession. And devotees were just offering their obeisances to the instruments of the Lord. And there was different containers with garlands and sandalwood pulp and flowers. Very nice containers. Very carefully, meticulously laid out. Then Raghunandan Thakur and Lochandas Thakur, two of the prominent disciples of Narahari Sarakar, they both first put garlands, special size made garlands, for each karatal and for each mrdunga. And special chandan with camphor and saffron, keshar. And they lovingly put the chandan and the garlands on each pair of karatals and on each mrdunga and offered prayers in humility to honor the Lord who has appeared through his paraphernalia. And then they went to each of the mahants, Raghunandan Thakur, who himself is a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, who himself was the highest caliber of a bhakta. With all humility, Srinivasacharya was taking the humble role of the submissive servant of Raghunandan Thakur. Srinivasacharya was bringing him the articles to worship the Vaishnavas with. Raghunandan Thakur put the garland on Krishna, Mishra, Sri Gopal, the sons of Advaita. Sripati, Srinidhi, the sons of Srivas. And then he put the garland and chandan on Birabhadra, the son of Nityananda Prabhu. And then a wonderful thing took place. Please listen carefully. Birabhadra called Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya came. He said, give me garland and chandan. And then Birabhadra put the garland and chandan on Raghunandan Thakur. Now Raghunandan Thakur, because he considered himself so inferior to Birachandra, he considered himself so inferior to all these saints, that he was very much embarrassed. And just to somehow or other deal with his embarrassment that he was being honored by Birachandra, Raghunandan Thakur put garland and sandalwood on Srinivasacharya, who became equally embarrassed because he considered Raghunandan to be so superior to him. And in this way, all the devotees were putting garlands and chandan on each other. There was so much love that anyone who saw that exchange, or anyone who hears about this exchange with a sincere heart, will achieve Krishna's causeless mercy. Yes, by witnessing the love of the devotees, we understand what is love of Krishna. And then with the blessings of the great souls, Sankirtan began. Not only everyone of Srikanda was there, but hundreds, thousands of people from other villages, they came. Some came out of devotion. Many came out of curiosity. What's going on? But it didn't matter. They all received the same benefit. The devotees were chanting. It is described that the kirtan was so sweet. The modulations of the voices were so devotional. The rhythms of the instruments were so harmonizing with the holy names. Everyone was intoxicated. And all of a sudden,
these elder people who are the associates of Lord Chaitanya, some of them were very old people. They became utterly mad dancing. People went wild. The kirtan was going mad with these devotees dancing. There was Sripati, Srinidhi, Krishna, Mishra, Gopal, dancing, dancing, dancing. They were old men. And then, Birachandra danced. The beauty of his dance was so enchanting to the heart that people were simply thrilled. They couldn't take their eyes off him. Anyone who saw the dance of Birachandra completely forgot that they were in the material world in all of its miseries. The kirtan elevated to an ecstatic level when Birachandra danced. People were going wild. People were going mad. There was one blind man in the audience. He was just somewhere near the back. And he asked somewhere else. The man was blind from birth. He had never seen the light of the day. He asked someone, "Who is dancing? Who is dancing? I feel something very, very powerful happening in my heart. Who is it that's dancing?" They said, "It is Birabhadra." As soon as the name Birabhadra came into his ears, it conquered his heart. And the man started crying, lamenting, "Why am I so unfortunate that I'm blind and I cannot see Birachandra's dance of love for Lord Gauranga?" He never cried for vision before in his life. He was weeping, crying, praying in the core of his heart, "Oh Birachandra, let me just one time see your dance." And as Birabhadra was dancing, he understood the heart of this poor soul. And Birabhadra glanced upon that blind man, giving him perfect vision. His eyes opened and he saw Birabhadra glancing right at him, dancing in ecstatic love. That man meant madly ecstatic. He started screaming out, "Birabhadra ki jai, Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai." He was dancing and dancing and dancing and weeping, and his hairs were standing on end and his limbs were trembling. And when everyone in the audience, thousands and thousands of people, when they saw this happen, everyone cried out with a tremendous ovation, "Haribo!" The kirtan rise to such a crescendo through the entire night. And at a certain point, the holy name transported everyone's consciousness into such a state of feelings of separation from Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. Those devotees who had left the world years before. Most of the people there had never seen the Lord. They were just crying due to their misfortune that they never saw the Lord. They never personally served the Lord. And those who saw the Lord were crying even more in separation from Him. People were weeping, weeping, weeping. Love and separation, the highest ecstasies of spiritual realization. They were crying out Lord Chaitanya's names, crying out the names of his devotees. And Lord Chaitanya, who is none different than his name, could not resist the love of his devotees. And by their sincere cries and separation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the center of the kirtan. Everyone witnessed his beautiful golden form. Lord Chaitanya personally went to each and every devotee and consoled them. He delivered them from all the miseries of material and life and all the miseries of separation. Lord Chaitanya personally went to each and every devotee in that kirtan and cast them into an ocean of transcendental ecstasy, and they all drowned in that ocean. And then the Lord disappeared, and the kirtan continued at even a higher level of gratitude, chanting the holy name. They perform their Nam Sankirtan until Mangalarti. After Mangalarti, Raghunandan Thakur approached his senior devotees and requested, "How would you like to celebrate Dwadasi?" And they said, "Make a big feast for Lord Gauranga and we will all sit together and take that feast." Meanwhile, all of these thousands of people who didn't even know who Lord Chaitanya was hardly, they just came from other villages, they were astounded. They were all transformed. They saw Lord Chaitanya. They just happened to be there out of curiosity. They saw Bir Chandra dance. They were all converted. They were transformed. They were floating in ecstasy. People were remarking amongst each other that I have heard about observing Ekadasi, but nobody observes Ekadasi like these Gaudiya Vaishnavas. This is an Ekadasi we'll never forget. They were in so much ecstasy. From Srinivas Acharya's Bhagavad Katha to all-night kirtan, nobody even remembered the thought of eating or drinking or sleeping. So Raghunandan Thakur and his assistants, they spent the whole morning preparing a wonderful feast for Lord Gauranga's deity. And Raghunandan Thakur went on the altar, and along with the pujari, they offered the bhoga. Then they came out into the prasadam area, and they offered banana leaves to all the great saints and to all the assembled devotees and guests. And then they opened the curtains for the Rajbhogarti. When the Vaishnavas saw the offering to the Lord, they were so happy. What is the greatest happiness for a person with a pure heart? To see the happiness of Krishna. What is the greatest happiness for a person with an impure heart? Our own happiness. Yes? This is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this to the highest level. Ashlisya va padagatam panashtu mam darshana maramahatam kurotu va yatata tata vidatatu lampato matprana datastu se eva napara. My Lord, I am your servant. And whatever pleases you is my life and soul. If it pleases you to embrace me and give me your darshan, or if it pleases you to trample upon me and cause me all kinds of pains and miseries, or if it pleases you to neglect me and may not be present before me, which is the worst misery, you do whatever you like, because I am your servant unconditionally. That
is real love.
To the degree we recondition our false ego into pure consciousness, we can be happy. Otherwise, the pleasures of this world are sources of pain because they're temporary and they're limited and they cannot satisfy the heart. They can satisfy the mind and the senses a little, but they don't touch the heart. But when we please Krishna, when we become reconditioned that what makes Krishna happy is my happiness. What makes the devotees happy is what makes Krishna happy. That is my happiness. What brings the common people of the world real spiritual happiness is what makes Krishna happy. That is my happiness. Srila Prabhupada, during Vyas Puja, he was sitting on a beautiful throne getting all kinds of worship. That didn't give him happiness. What gave him happiness? When he saw whether a person was a Brahmin or whether it was a person was a prostitute in a street or a drunkard or a malecha or a vyavana, if he saw them tasting the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, that brought him happiness. That's love. Why? Because that's what brings Krishna happiness. So all the devotees, when they saw the offering made to Lord Gauranga, they were overwhelmed with joy. They were just glorifying all the devotees. Your good fortune, you have given so much pleasure to Krishna today. Our deepest eternal gratitude to you for pleasing Krishna so much today with this offering. This is how sensitive a Vaishnava is. Govardhan Puja, here at the temple, so many beautiful offerings. Some of us look at it and think, I hope I get that, and I hope I get that. And others think, yeah, very nice, very nice. I'll take a photo and I'll put it in the newspaper. But actually, a devotee who really has adopted the real spirit, they're in bliss to see how Krishna has enjoyed today. That's my happiness. Krishna has been given all these offerings. The accumulated devotion of so many hundreds of people have been offered to Krishna. How Krishna has enjoyed. What can be a greater thing than this? For a devotee, greater than watching the Academy Award-winning movie, greater than seeing India World win the World Cup for cricket, greater than seeing your own son getting a PhD in IIT, a greater pleasure than all this is seeing a nice offering of bhoga given to Krishna. Such a small thing. And the offering is on the altar for a few minutes, and then it's distributed, it's gone, you never see it again. But a devotee's heart has such deep, subtle sensitivity. Krishna enjoyed it. How wonderful. No greater pleasure than this. So all the devotees were so happy. And then when it came for taking prasad, they were even more happy. Not because they... Because Krishna enjoys seeing the devotees taking his prasad. This is the highest standard of prasad eating. There's Kanishta prasad eaters, Madhyam prasad eaters, and Uttama prasad eater. Kanishta prasad is, I like the taste, I'm very happy. Madhyam prasad is, I'm honoring Krishna's remnants, I'm grateful, that makes me happy. But uttam prasad eating is, if I enjoy this prasad, Krishna will enjoy seeing me enjoy the prasad. So I'm going to enjoy for Krishna's pleasure. Harivo. Even if it's oversalted dal. Hari Hari. So the devotees were taking prasad so nicely, and as they were taking prasad, they were praising every preparation. It was like a kirtan. Ah, this sak, this spinach sabji, so nice, so nice, so nice. Everyone was praising each preparation. Shukta, very nice, very nice. Krishna, they weren't saying, I'm enjoying. They were saying, Krishna enjoyed the shukta so much. Krishna enjoyed this shak so much. Krishna enjoyed this rice and ghee so nicely, very nice. Everyone was so happy. And Raghunandan was doing the serving. Such a senior devotee, but he was organizing the serving. And I'm going to conclude today's class with a very special pastime. While all the mahants and all the devotees and all the guests were honoring magnificent feast of so many preparations that was prepared with great efforts, Raghunandan, his heart and soul, was remembering his Guru Maharaj. Because today was the celebration of his disappearance. He was feeling such deep separation. He went on the altar into the bhoga room and he took a small portion of the deity's mahaprasad and made a nice little plate and brought it to the secluded place where Narahari Sarakar used to sit and perform his bhajan. He went in that little room, and then he got the little wooden seat that Narahari Sarakar would sit on, and he placed it down on the floor. And then right on the floor, in front of that seat, he put a plate and offered the deity's mahaprasad. And yet another plate with a garland. Because there was no deity. There was no photo. There was just his seat. So he offered the garland to his Guru Maharaj on a plate, along with prasad and wonderful spices for his chewing after he finishes. Raghunandan, immersed in divine love and separation from his Guru Maharaj, because this whole festival was exclusively in honor of Narahari Sarakar. It was exclusively for his pleasure, and everyone there was conscious of that fact. He sat before his Guru Maharaj's seat with folded hands, crying tears of love and separation, offering prayers for his Guru Maharaj to accept this offering. And then according to the standard, he left that small room and closed the door to allow his Guru Maharaj the secluded time to honor the prasad. Raghunandan Thakur for some time sat outside the door meditating on the lotus feet of Narahari Sarakar, remembering his kindness, his great sacrifice for the welfare of others, remembering his wonderful teachings, remembering his infinite love for the Lord, and especially remembering his personal affection to him. Raghunandan was filled with feelings of the deepest emotions. And then he knocked on the door and he opened it. And before his eyes, on the seat of his Guru Maharaj, Narahari Sarakar manifested himself in his original spiritual body. Raghunandan Thakur, upon seeing his Guru Maharaj sitting before him, wept in the ecstasy of love. His heart was overflowing with gratitude. He bowed down again and again and again. And then he came in with water to wash his Guru Maharaj's hands. And his Guru Maharaj was there. He washed his hands and he washed his mouth as Raghunandan poured the water. And then Narahari Sadakar disappeared from his vision. Raghunandan Thakur picked up the seat that his Guru Maharaj had just sat on in his spiritual form and placed that seat on his head and cried in sweet love. But he was in the spirit of pleasing his Guru Maharaj. And what pleases the great spiritual masters? Lord Chaitanya taught, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Das Anu Das, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Yes, Raghunandan could have just sat in that room savoring, relishing the experience that he just had out of his causeless mercy, his Guru Maharaj, who had left some days before, manifested himself and revealed his spiritual form. But that's not what his Guru Maharaj wanted. After praising his Guru Maharaj from the core of his heart, he placed the seat down and ran right back to where the devotees were taking prasad to continue serving everyone. Srila Prabhupada once taught us, work now, samadhi later. Now there are many levels of that. But here we're finding the highest level, even in the spiritual sense. On the highest platforms of devotion, still there's work now, samadhi later. It translates on that level what pleases Krishna. Let me go out and serve the devotees rather than sitting here in ecstasy. And that's what he did. When his Guru Maharaj appeared and disappeared, the separation of his heart only increased. But he carried on with his devotional service. And all the saints, all the associates of Mahaprabhu and all other devotees were simply praising from the core of their hearts the service attitude and the affection of Raghunandan Thakur. This is Vaishnav culture. If we really want to understand Vaishnav culture, we see it in action. Lord Chaitanya explained the theory. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni explains the theory. But when we see through our ears of how people practically apply that theory, then we know what is culture. Culture is about respect. Culture is about humility. Culture is about selfless service attitude. Culture is about an etiquette of pleasing others, uplifting others' hearts. That is culture. Culture is about being unselfish. That is Vaishnav culture. Inspiring each other in the path of bhakti, hearing about Krishna, and especially immersing ourselves in intimate relationships so that when we come together in Sankirtan,
the actual name of Krishna manifests from our hearts and fills the whole world. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told King Prataparuja that this is called Prem Sankirtan. There are so many people who just go around the streets chanting God's names, even Maha Mantra. There are so many temples where kirtan is going on. But what is the culture of Lord Chaitanya's mission? It is Prem Sankirtan. What is Prem Sankirtan? We are hearing about it today. That deep love and appreciation that devotees have for each other and inspiring each other and through that pleasing Krishna so that he actually manifests with his full glory in his name. After the feast was complete, the acharyas, actually while they were eating, they begged Raghunandan to take prasad with him. He said, no, my satisfaction is watching you eat prasad. And after they were done, they said, Raghunandan, now we want to watch you eating prasad. He said, no, now I must serve the servants. Srinivasacharya was one of the servants. Raghunandan then personally served all the servants. And after everyone else ate prasad, then Raghunandan sat down to eat prasad. And everyone there was so happy to see Raghunandan eating prasad. They were happier watching him eating prasad than when they were eating prasad. And Raghunandan was more happy seeing them eating prasad than him eating prasad. And in this way, Vaishnava culture was exhibited. Then Raghunandan asked, how should we celebrate the next day of the celebration of Narahari Sarakar? And they said, tomorrow we should all take prasad, deliver it to all the homes of the Vaishnavas. And he did it. He had his cooks cook incredible feasts, each one according to what everyone liked. Like Govinda's restaurant. They asked what every devotee wanted. And they prepared it and delivered it right to their homes. Hare Krishna. And everyone was so satisfied. Now this is high level service, which takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort. And yet Raghunandan was begging them to stay on. For most of us, if we had a festival like this, we would be longing for everyone to leave so we could go to sleep. But Raghunandan, they were ready to leave. And Raghunandan was saying no, and all of his associates were saying no, and all the villagers of Srikhanda were falling at the feet of the devotees, please stay on. They said, well, we have to go. No, please stay on. And big stalwart acharyas, Birachandra, Gopal, Sripati, we have to go. No, please stay. All right. Everyone agreed to stay 4 more days. And this was the type of service they were rendering to all the devotees when they were there. And finally, when they were leaving, Raghunandan Thakur arranged beautiful gifts for each devotee to take with them. Packed prasad. Everything. This was the standard of their devotion. And as they were leaving, Raghunandan's heart was immersed in separation, and all the inhabitants of Srikhanda were crying as the devotees were leaving. How will we survive? How will we live without this association? That is how in Srikhanda they celebrated this day, the disappearance of Sri Narahari Sarakar. And it was all done in this way because everyone assembled knew this is what would most please Narahari Sarakar. Sh-
Srila Prabhupada has so kindly come in the disciplic succession of these great personalities to give us the opportunity to enter into this Leela. The prime benediction for humanity at large. On this day, let us pray at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, Narahari Sarakar, Raghunandan Thakur, Mukunda Sarakar, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Let us pray that we can make the aspiration of our lives to follow in the footsteps of these loving servants of the Lord. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now we will perform Harinam Sankirtan.